Okay, a guten Tag to everybody. Welcome to the Siyum on Maseches Sota. So excited to greet each one of you here tonight. A guten Tag. I'm going to have to greet everybody personally because that's this way everybody will know who everybody is. A lot of people say, I don't know, he's on Zoom, he's on afterwards. You don't know. So I want to wish a guten Tag too. And now I'm not going to get everybody's name. Watch this. A guten Tag to Reb Mordechai. To Mordechai Tzvi, to Tani, but hold on, I know Natanel is your second name. No, hold on, one second. I used to know your name. Yeah, I forgot, what's your name?
Don't forget, DRS was after my time.
That's right, but I knew your name in MTA already in your junior year.
Naftali Menashe,
okay, and Aaron Zelig. Right. Aaron Zelig and Yisrael Moshe and Svika and Chaim Tzvi and Reb Zalman and Rav Eliezer Dov. And Avram Moshe, and Gershon Eitan, and David Yoshua, and Stephen, and Dr. Ron, and Avram David, and Dr. Joe, and Harav Dov Binyamin Ben Shneir Zalman Dunn.
A Cohen.
And Yitzchak Aryeh, and Avram Moshe. We got two Avram Moshes now, look at that. Oh, I messed it up. Avram Yehuda, that's what got me confused. Avram Yehuda, and Yaakov, and Chanuch, and Shlomo David. A guten Tag to everybody. It means so much to me, and I know it means so much to the whole chevra that everybody gets together. This is such an amazing group of people that learn together every day, and it's such a chizuk, and I want to talk about that a little bit like I do every time, because I'm so blown away. I'm so unbelievably blown away each time that the chevra comes together to learn together, to be mechazik each other. It's so extra special. I hope you're with me in feeling this, that we're making the Siyum just a few days prior to Kabbalah Satorah to Shavuos. I'm going to speak about that a little bit as well. The getting together to learn Torah every day changes each of our lives every day as individuals and as a community. And it means so much that everybody made the time to come with us tonight. Now, I know I got to do things for us tonight. Anything, first of all, Poskim B'Chvod Achsanya, we thank Harav Eliezer Dov and Rebbetzin Sherry for opening up their home to us tonight. Thank you very much. This whole, all the salads is Sherry's handiwork. We thank Harav Eliezer Dov and Sherry for being the Achsanya Shel Torah and for hosting the Siyum tonight. What a tremendous simcha. We appreciate it. And also, Tzvika, I need all the list of all the sponsors because sometimes my head gets messed up and I just forget to do what I'm supposed to do. So, Elliot Deutsch, that's in our language, that's Yisrael Moshe. In honor of Rabbi Rebbetzin Kamenetsky, okay, the Rebbetzin should have heard that, someone tell her. Yaakov Apfelbaum, Hakara Satov to the Chevra and to myself, and Le'ilu Nishmas Nachman Daniel Ben Aryeh Tzvi. We thank Yaakov for always keeping the memory of Nachman Daniel Ben Aryeh Tzvi. Aryeh, of course, learns the daf with us and came to the last scene, but Nachman Daniel is always in our learning, in our thoughts, and we're learning, and it's a special chus for me to continue the connection with Aryeh. My father had a very close connection with Nachman Daniel. We'll also mention that tonight's learning is with Inishmas Ali Moria of David Sibin Rav Yosef. Jeremy Crane, in honor of myself and the Daf Yomi Chevra, and our newest member, Avram Moshe Shraga. And Harav Eliezer Dov, in honor of myself and the Daf Yomi Chevra, anonymous, for a few people, Adina Basi Bashir Miriam, Kadina Leah Bas Reina and Eli Natan Ben Moshe Ben Sion. Dovzi, in honor of me, and Zalman, Reb Zalman, in honor of Yaakov Dov Bear Miller's enrollment at YNJ. Okay, a connection that happened as a result of this shiur. Okay, Gavaldik. Mazel Tov. Avram Moshe Shrag, in honor of me, John Santo. Oh, John! You couldn't have done it at a better time. That was on cue, John. That was on cue. John Santos also sponsoring in memory of the yard site of his mother, Leah Bas Yaakov, and in honor of me. And Avram Yehuda Parver, in honor of Rabbi Kamenetsky and the Chabur, welcoming him to the Shir with open arms. And Dr. Joe, in honor of the upcoming wedding of his niece Rosa and his nephew Eli, Mazel Tov. And what was it? That Ofer was the Shabbos. Okay, the Ofer was the Shabbos. Okay, Mazel Tov to everybody. And thank you for all the sponsors. And again, thanks everybody for coming. So we're going to begin by reading the last Gemara, because everything I have to say is about the last Gemara, the last two lines. And there's such an unbelievable last line, and there's so many amazing words of Torah to say about that last line. But as an introduction, I want to ask the Olam, and I want to pose a question to the Olam, why do we read Parshas Bamidbar, the Shabbos before Shavuos, almost all the time? I believe next year, since it's a leap year, it's Naso. Whenever it's a leap year, we read Naso before Shavuos, but usually, most of the time, we always read Bamidbar before Shavuos. That's what I want you to have on your head a little bit as I'm reading the last Gemara. Why do we always read Bamidbar before Shavuos? Oh, so let's read the last Gemara together. Unbelievable Gemara at the end of Sota. By the way, maybe I'll also try to connect this a little bit, because I heard a shiur a couple of weeks ago of someone said that there's a minig of Chabad to learn Maseches Sota during the Sfira, not just because it's 48 blot and the Sfira is 48 days, the 49, not just because of that, because Maseches Shavuos is also 49 blot. So why does Chabad choose Dafka to learn Maseches Sota during the Sfiras Omer leading up to Shavuos? Let's keep that. And if I don't answer that kasha, Mordechai, remind me, I got to answer that kasha too. Here we go. Last Gemara. So the Mishnah listed a whole bunch of people who, when they died, a certain Midah was gone from the world. The Mishnah had a long list. The last Gemara is just going to deal with two of them. So, right, the Gemara had said, we read all that, we did this already, right? Mishamesav Yochanan Bat Lachachma, Agutvach. The Rebbetzin is joining us. Thank you, the Rebbetzin. Really, again, we have to say a tremendous hakaras hatov to the Rebbetzin who is really gives up the most for this year because it's the most of my time when I thought about doing this. So we had a discussion about it, and we were already a pretty busy household, and to add this into the mix was a challenge. But the Rebbetzin has been unbelievably supportive of every single one of my learning endeavors, and I know that the entire shiur joins me. And by the way, one of the sponsorships was in honor of the Rebbetzin. Who was that? Somebody. Somebody sponsored in honor of the Rebbetzin. Yeah, Yisrael Moshe. So, and I know all of us join in appreciating the fact that my wife really is behind all the learning and is the time. There's a time commitment that we both put into this, so we really appreciate it very, very much. And Mamish, we've been learning, making Siyum for 3.5 years, and Bez Hashem, we should continue to continue to finish Shas. And it really is all Shaliva Shalachem Shalahu Pshuto Kamashmo. So let's read the last two lines. It says so. We just read that when Rabbi Eliezer died, this was gone. When Rabbi Shua died, right? We did this already. Mishmeis Rabbi Kiva Batlu Zoritom, Mishmeis Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Batlu Ataras Chachma. We did it all, and then there were the last two. There was two of them. So what the Mishnah said? Mishmeis Rabbi Batlu Anava VeYiras Chet. That when Rabbi died, so Anava, humility, was lost from the world, and Yiras Chet was lost from the world. So it's unbelievable Gemara. There's no way to get around it. Amali Rav Yosef Latana. So Rav Yosef said to the Tana, who is teaching this Mishnah, including that, no, there's a mistake in the Mishnah. Leave out that was never in the Mishnah. Leave out those words, Mishameis Rebbe. Amali Rav Yosef Latana. Lo tisne anava. Don't include the word anava, Mishameis Rebbe, that when Rebbe died, anava was gone. De'ika ana. The simple pshat, which means because I am still here and I am humble. So when Rebbe died, humility is not gone from the world because I am here and I am humble. I mean, the question on this is so obvious, it screams out. The question screams out, if he was so humble, why is he bragging about his humility? It's such a strange, strange line. Everybody and their grandmother talks about this line. And then he says also, I'm a Rav Nachman Latana, and Rav Nachman said to the Tana, Lo tisne yiras chet, don't say that when Rebbe died, yiras chet is gone. Because I also have, Rav Nachman said, I also have Yiras Chet. So what in the world is going on with this line? So there are a number of explanations. I'm going to list basically, I'm going to speak about three, really only one. I'm only going to speak of one explanation, but we'll mention two others just to show how absolutely unbelievable this line is. So the Vilna Gaon, no less an authority than the Vilna Gaon, says, what does this line mean? The Vilna Gaon says, if you look in the Yerushalmi, there's one of the rabbis in the Yerushalmi, his name was Ana. That was his name. So when Rav Yosef said, don't say that humility is gone but there's still Ana, he was not referring to himself. He was referring to this rabbi in the Yerushalmi, whose name was Ana, And Rav Yosef is telling us, by the way, you should know this guy was a tremendous anav. He was a tremendous anav. So this rabbi called Ana was still around. Unbelievable gra. Unbelievable gra. That's the gra.
That's not what Rashi says.
Well, that's not what Rashi says. Right. That's not what Rashi says. Now, in the Sefer Nachlas Yaakov, I saw a quote in the back of the Masifti. He says, Pshat, that Rav Mordechai will identify very much, because, you know, Rav Mordechai always reminds us about Rav Yosef and the tragic life, in a certain sense, that Rav Yosef lived. So the Nachlas Yaakov has the following explanation. He says like this. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, he was the editor of the Mishnah, he's the editor of the Mishnayos. He was wealthy. He was tremendously wealthy, and he was tremendously brilliant, and he was the Gadol Hador. He was amazing in all respects, and yet the Gemara also says that Rebbe had horrible, horrible stomach issues. Horrible. That when he used to go to the bathroom, you could hear him screaming and yelling from 300 parses away, the Gemara says. So somebody would look at Rebbe, who would see how much he had, and yet he still had so much tzaras and had so much. Nobody could possibly be a Balgaiva after looking at Rebbe, because what do you think? You're going to have more money than him? You're not going to. You're going to be smarter? You're not going to. And yet, what was his end? Even though he had all this stuff, he had all this pain and terrible tzar. So nobody, because if you're going to be arrogant, the same thing could happen to you. The same thing could happen to you. Look at him. He had everything in the world, but he still had all this pain. People were broken when they would look at him and say, look at this guy. He has everything, but he has all this pain. He lives in such horror. That's such a terrible thing. Nobody could possibly be arrogant after looking at that, because you can't have more than him, and you could always have the same. You could be open to having this pain also. So it was a Musar Haskel to people that you can never become arrogant after watching what happened to him. So Rav Yosef said, you think it only happened to him like that? Rav Yosef was also brilliant, was also destined to be the Rosh Hashiva. We had the Holy Gemara at the end of Brachos that he waited many years because he felt Rabba was more deserving than him, even though the people said Sinai is better. The people said Rav Yosef really deserved to be Rosh Hashiva. But he passed it up and gave it over to Rabba. He was a humble person. He passed it up. He was a brilliant Talmud Chacham, he was brilliant scholar, and we know that Rav Yosef became blind and he lost all of his learning, so he also was brilliant. So he said, you don't have to only learn humility from Rebbe. You could see that a great Torah scholar, difficult things can happen to him. I'm also around, and I also, it's not because he was being arrogant. I'm also around. I also have a lot, but I also am broken. I'm also a broken person. So you could learn humility from me, because I'm somebody who had tremendous scholarship, but I'm also broken, live a broken life. So I also have a similar kind of matzav as Rebbe. Okay. But now I want to talk about what I really want to talk about, and that is the pshat that's given by start with the Marsha. The Marsha is exquisite, an exquisite pshat, the Marsha says. Unbelievable Marsha. The Marsha says, yeah, it sounds like he's being arrogant by saying that I'm humble, but it was the truth. And when it comes to speaking Torah, when something's going to be written down in the Mishnah, Rav Yosef said, a Mishnah cannot say something false, cannot say a lie. A Mishnah cannot say a lie. And I am a humble person also. And therefore, even though I'm very uncomfortable pointing out that I'm also a humble person, I'm uncomfortable pointing out to you, but if there's going to be a Mishnah that's going to say, Kishemes Rebbe Batla Anava, and I know that I'm also a humble person, despite the fact that it makes me look bad to say it, but the MS of Torah is more important to me than what it looks like to me. That the Torah should be MS is more important. And Bedavka, actually, a humble person is exactly the person who speaks only truth. Because Moshe was Ha'ish Moshe, Anav Ma'od, Mikol Adam HaShal Pnei Adama. And we say about Moshe Emes, V'Sarasa Emes. Humility does not mean you walk around saying, I'm a piece of garbage all the time, I'm a nothing, I'm a zero. That's not humility, that's lying. Everybody has their own talents and kohos, everybody has their own ability. So actually, to be honest, if you're actually really a humble person, then to be honest is to say you're humble. And that's that. This Marsha, first of all, you see about the Marsha, the Emes of Torah, that the Torah is Torah's Emes, and what a Zuchus that each one of us has every morning, some of us in person, other of us on Zoom, other of us who listen later in the day. What is chesed is, that we learn Torah every day, we have an exposure to emes every single day. That's what binds us together. What binds us together is the emes. Rav Yosef said, I'm not going to allow a Mishnah to say, Mishemes Rebbe Batla Anava, because I'm also humble. So even though it makes me really uncomfortable to call that out and point that out, but the Torah has to be Torah's emes, and how lucky we are that we get emes in our lives every day. And in 6 days, we're all going to be, again, Mekabel, the emes, Torah's emes. Ha'ish Moshe Anav Mod. An Anav is a person who's emestic. He's honest, and he's truthful, and he looks for the truth in Torah. That's emes. And just to take it one step further, the Avnei Nezer, really the Hamek Dover says the same thing, the Netziv says the same thing, and the Avnei Nezer, but the Avnei Nezer ties it to Shavuos. That's why I wanted to see this Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer said, he's responding to a question, the Shavuos Avnei Nezer. So somebody asked him a kasha based on a Zohar that Rab Zeira says in Brachos, Haroas Seorim Bachalom, a person who sees barley in a dream, so it means that he's forgiven of all his sins. That's what it says in Masech Brachos on Daf Nun Zayin. And Rab Zeira said, I wouldn't make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael until I saw barley in the dream, and now I know that I'm a tzaddik. That's what the Gemara says, knows he's a tzaddik. So this rabbi asked Avnei Nezer, how could the guy be so arrogant to say, oh, I saw barley in the dream, and therefore I know that I'm a tzaddik? Anybody who would say that is Badafka, not a tzaddik. Who could say that I'm such a tzaddik that I saw barley in my dream? He got upset at it. He says the greatest in Baal Aveir is the guy who says, I don't have any Aveiros because I saw barley in the dream. I don't have any Aveiros. And how could you say such a person is Roy Lugu'ula? Sevda Adnei Nezer, what are you talking about? Wait, that's not arrogant. He's just telling the truth. He's telling the truth. It's not arrogant. He says, someone who knows the truth about himself. He says, the Gemara says that in Sukkah, the Chassidim and Anshei Maisi used to sing, Asher Yaldo Seinu Shlo Bisha Zignosenu. And the Baal Yeshiva would say, Asher Zignu Seinu, Shikros Yaldo Seinu. Hinei Shechassidim Alola, Yodum Alasa Madrigasim. These Chassidim, they knew how great they were. And according to you, that's a sin. We said the Brisa says in Pesach Kedusha, the guy is Mekadesh woman, a Mash and Yitzadik. I feel Rosh HaGomim, Mekodeshes, Shemihir Yeshiva. According to you, how can a person say that he's a tzaddik? He says the Avnei Nezer, knowing who you really are does not contradict humility. An anav is not someone who just goes around saying, I'm a Rosh. If he's really a tzaddik, then an anav says that. He says, Ein ha'yedim mikol ela soseh ha'anava v'shivron leiv. Look what he says so beautifully. Isn't it this? U'moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom, yoda mikol ma'ash asen nisim v'neflos. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't stupid. He knew that he was the one who split the sea. And he brought all the makos, and he did tremendous things. V'kibel Torah milavas he, for goodness sake, he was the one who sat up there 40 days and 40 nights on the Har Sinai, and he was mekabel Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kosav ba'atzmo ba'torah, v'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael kamoshe. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the words in the Torah that there was no greater prophet ever than Moshe Rabbeinu in the whole Torah. V'atorah yidlov ha'ish Moshe onav mod. What, he didn't know who he was? He didn't know that he was Makabal Torah. He didn't know that he split the sea. He didn't know. He wrote the words that there was no greater prophet ever than Moshe. He knew that he was a great prophet. And yet the Torah says he's the most humble man who ever lived. Says the Avnei Nezer, it's not a stira to know who you are. What's an anav, he says. Listen to what he says. Uva'avos to Rav Nosson, chof dalad mukeh shchin ha'yib Yushalayim, v'nafshel shal Moshe, he says shvelim him. Moshe's soul was lower than the 24 mukeh shchin. What's humility? Moshe Rabbeinu knew all the great things that he did. He didn't make a big deal out of them. That's what a humble person is. He knows that he did those things. He knows that he has a high madriga, but he didn't get all excited about it. He didn't let him get to his head. It didn't move him. It didn't make him feel like he was better than anybody else. That's what a humble person is. He knew what he did. But he thought, that's my job. That's what I'm meant to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. V'chein kol ishtal fi'erko. V'Rav Yosef Amar b'psachim, says the Avnei Nezer. Rav Yosef said in Masechet Psachim, Ilav hayom adikagarim kama Yosef ego b'shuka. Rav Yosef was referring to the Yontif of Shavuos. And he said, if not for the holiday of Shavuos, I would be a regular Joe. I would be a regular Joe. That's what Rav Yosef said. Ilav hayom adikagarim. If Rav Yosef was blind and he was sick and he lost his marbles, but he said, if not for the day of Shavuos, I would be a nobody. Because of Shavuos, I'm a Talmud Chacham. I'm a somebody. The same Rav Yosef who said, because of Shavuos, I'm a somebody. Shavuos gave me my life. Shavuos gave me my whole chias. The same Rav Yosef is the same one who said at the end of Saita, he says, V'amar sof sota lo tisnei anava deka ana. He knew that he was a great Talmud Chacham only in the merit of Shavuos, but he was still able to say, I'm among the most humble people that I know. That's what he said about himself. He's really a humble person. It's not a contradiction, says the Avnei Nezer, to know that you're a big Talmud Chacham and to also not make a big deal out of it. To know that this is what you're destined for life to be. That this is the greatest thing in the world. You don't you think you're so chashuv because you learn every day. You have to be humble. It's amazing that you learn every day. But we don't let it get to our heads. And then he says David Nezer, Udvarim Elut Strichin Yigio Rabba Lavina Aburyum. You really need a lot of work to try to understand this, to try to understand what's the balance between knowing who you are and knowing that you have greatness, but not letting it get to your head. Just realizing Kila Kachno Tsarta. In Lamarta Torah Harbe the Mishnah says, Al Tachsik Toiva La Tzmacha, Kila Kachno Tsarta. It's amazing that you're doing it. It's amazing. But don't let it get to your head. Don't think you're so chashuv because of it. That's what we're here to do. So I asked in the beginning of my words, why do we read Parshas Bamidbar before Shavuos? And Shebi Shmuel says like this, many say like this. I believe strongly the reason we read is because in Parshas Bamidbar we count every single Jew. And the reason we count every single Jew is because every single Jew has a chelek in Torah. The word Yisrael stands for Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. We know there are really 300,000, but the idea is there's 600,000 that for every Jew, when we left, we counted this morning, 600,000. Every Jew has a chelek in Torah. Every Jew has a letter in Torah. Every Jew has a piece of Torah that he has to fill. And the Shem Yishmol develops this beautiful idea, and he says that the Medrash in a few places compares Klal Yisrael to stars. And in Yeshaya it says he counts all the stars B'Shem Yikra. And in Tehillim we say, HaRofei L'Shurei Lev V'Mechabei Satz V'Sam Monem Mispor LaKochavim L'Chulam Shemos Yikra. And the Ramban writes that when Moshe Rabbeinu counted every member of Klal Yisrael, he didn't just go to the daddy and say, how many people are in your tent? He made, in this morning's parasha, the Ramban says, he made every kid come out and say, you count. You're part of the count. He counted each one of them. He wanted to make every single person know, you have something to give, like a star. Every star has a different function. And we don't know, some stars bigger, some stars smaller, but when you look at all of them in the sky, it's all one. Says the Shem Yishmol, there's two countings. We each count twice. We each count as a member of Klal Yisrael, and we each count as an individual because we have to count, we have to fill up our own piece as well. And that's why we're compared to stars. Because stars, we count like stars, because stars, each one has a different function, and sometimes it looks like one's not, you can't see it. It's behind the cloud, you can't see it. So to every member of Klal Yisrael, you think this guy has nothing to contribute? You think this guy has nothing to contribute? Every member of Klal Yisrael has something to contribute. And that's why we count beforehand. And why does the Minig Chabad to learn Masechta Sota before Shavuos? So I heard a shiur from Rabbi Bashevkin a couple of weeks ago. Rabbi Emerson was there with me. He quoted from a certain Achron, I forgot already who quoted from, but he wanted to say that every person thinks like, he says, the whole idea of the Sota drinking the water, it's not to try to catch her to destroy, it's just the opposite. It's to try to show, it never happened. You look at all the conditions that have to happen in order for a sota to actually happen. It can never happen. It has to be like, you know, he never did anything wrong, and she never, and even there's nobody around. So many different conditions that makes it so unlikely that it's going to happen. The goal is to strengthen the marriage. The goal of the sota is to drink, and then v'nikah ha'ish me'avon v'yishayit yisayas havonah. The goal is strengthened. See, you want to suggest, that's why I read it before Shavuos. Because even though a person thinks over the year, maybe I wasn't so good about learning, I didn't do so great, maybe I wasn't so close, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're all part of you. We're married anyway. Shavuos is, that's why we bring Masechet Sota Dafka to show that each of us has a chelek in Torah. Each of us, what is it? Yisrael v'orais of a Kadosh Baruch Hu chadu. The Jewish people, the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are all one. I saw just close as my last point. This Sfas Emes writes, the word kochav, listen to this, unbelievable. If you took nothing out of this, listen to this. Sfas Emes, kochav. Sfas Emes is kochav, is chavav chavbeis. Kochav, chavav chavbeis. Chavav is yud kevavke. Chavbeis is the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Why are we compared to kochavim? Because you know how to get to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know how to get to him, how to get to chavav? Through the chavbeis, through the learning of Torah. And I was thinking that the Shem Yishmol says, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, Hashem calls us all by one name. And the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Shemos, that if you look at the heavens, I called all the stars by one name. And so it's really both things. He develops it a little bit differently, but counting means two things. Each of us counts as an individual, and each of us counts as a zebra. And I was thinking about our chevra, our amazing chevra, which has changed my life. Pshuto kamashmo. The Dafyomi Shir has changed my life. each of us gives such a tremendous amount of chizuk by listening to the shiur. First of all, what it does for each of us as individuals, it gives us a whole new lease on life. It gives us a whole new opening to emes, to learn Torah every single day, to learn Torah in a real way, in a truthful way, to come to the emes of Torah. It affects our lives. It affects our relationships. It affects us as people to learn Torah together every single day. Every single day. Even Tisha B'Av, we're going to learn Motzei Tisha B'Av. Every single day. Erev Tisha B'Av and Motzei Tisha B'Av. Daf Yomi, every day. Every day. So as individuals, it changes us. And also as a chevra, I always say, look at this. Look at this beautiful chevra that comes together on Malava Malka to learn Torah together, to be inspired together, to inspire each one of us. We each have so much to give. So we count as individuals, and we also count as a tzibur. We count as a tzibur, learning together. So I just daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the same way each of us has had the chizuk and the strength, we can't get off the train. If we get off for one day, that's all good. Come back the next day. Page out of Stefanski's book. Okay. In honor of the Rebbe, the Rebbe of all the Rebbes. If you get off the train for one day, you got to get back on the next day. You got to be part of it. Baruch Hashem, our tzibur seems to keep on growing and growing and growing. So we should keep on growing. We should be zocha to finish Shas together. We should be zocha to learn Torah in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, with the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. Merav Yameinu, Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for coming, and I will now recite the... I'd like you to recite the Hadron together with me, because it's all of our Hadron, except that the Masifta doesn't have it, so I have to bring the art scroll. Let's recite the Hadron together. Here we go. So we just finished... We just finished. Okay. So Hadron Alach Egla Arufa Uslika La Meseches Sota. John, let me know when you're ready. You good? Here we go. We'll say it together. Join me, please. Hadron Alach Meseches Sota V'Hadron Chalon. Daiten Alach Meseches Sota V'Daiten Chalon. Lo Nitzin Shem Yidach Meseches Sota Lo Tizin Shem Yinon. Lo Ba'ama Adem Lo Ba'ama Adem. Hadron Alach Meseches Sota V'Hadron Chalon. Daitem Allah Mosef Sot with Daitem Halab, Losis Jamino Mosef Sot, Tishne Minon, Lobama Dame, Lobama Dossi, Hadron Allah Mosef Sot, Hadron Halon, Daitem Allah Mosef Sot with Daitem Halon, Losis Jamino Mosef Sot, Lotishne Minon, Lobama Dame, Lobama Dossi, Yotom of Fanakan, Lame Lavasin, Jate Tarasco, Monsain of Allah, Isaiah, Taiman of Lobama Ba. Hanina by Papa, Rami by Papa, Nachma Papa, Hoy by Papa, Mori by Papa, Rafa by Papa, Rockish by Papa, Suga by Papa, Adra by Dora by Papa. Hire of Nana Lames to base on a circle of Fino Vigios, I'm called Base Israel. And yeah, Kulano and Achim with Sassanum, Sassanum, I'm called Base Israel. Kulano Yode Shmech of Long Days of Sakhal Shma. They invite Hakmani to Sakhal Kilam Hili. Hili be something with Kukakal Aman Loyos, Omo Shkak Kudaka, Kibam Kisan and Brukhatar, the Elam Dane Kukaka, Amen, 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 Selavai. Modim anachmu fanecha na lehenu levaseinu shesabda chakim yoshe beis amedrish vosabda chakim yoshe kronos shanu mashkim vehem mashkim anu mashkim udir vei torah vehem mashkim udvarim betehu anu amelim vehem amelim anu amelim kam mischar vehem amelim vehem kam mischar anu ratzim vehem ratzim anu ratzim chayim vahabab vehem ratzim vershach shem rabba talim toridim vershachas an shei dobo mimro lo yechtu yumeim ani atach bach Yatzal Fanech and Alhai Kashem Shazatan with Sayyim Mesechus Sota. Kane Dazil Haskell Mesechus Sarmachem with Simon. Lilmo Lame, Mishra Lassel Kaim is called Dibi Samuel to Resecha Biava. With the Chus Kalatanai, Mamaram Samidi Hakam Yaman Lil Zari. So Sama Shatorim with Pium Bizari, the Zari Adalam. The Diskaim be Bishalecha Khatanka Osaf Bishab Khatishma Alecha. Like it says, he sees Hecha, the beer boy, Mechel, your civil cost of Schein, or a Yomi, me, a small ocean of Chorad, and I always have my chain. Iskadal, Iskadash, Mirabo, Yomadu, Asas, Katalach, Yomi, Sayala, Soki, Yosin, Lachayoma, will meet the card that you stay with Shakle, Hobagabi, Mecca, Bohon, and Homin Arab, Lasso, Bohon, Ishmael, Lassi, Yomi, Kuchabukum, Lassi, Kare. V'chayecha onu v'yomecha onu v'chayecha beis Yisrael. V'agalav is man karivim ruah me. Amen. Shmei Rabbanu v'Rabbanu 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 v'Rabb
Simin tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, simin tov, yei lanu l'chol Yisrael. Simin tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, simin tov, yei lanu l'chol Yisrael. Simin tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, simin tov, yei lanu l'chol Yisrael. Simin tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, simin tov, yei lanu l'chol Yisrael.
Say, I, Time. Everyone can have some salad and eat the ice cream before it melts. We'll hear from Rabbi Schechter. We'll hear from Rabbi Schechter. We thank him so much for coming, and we'll sing a niggun. After Rabbi Schechter, we'll sing a niggun. We have to sing a little bit of a niggun also. We have a seat. Rabbi Brazil, we have a seat for Rabbi Schechter. Okay, 1 second. Okay. Everyone can continue to eat a little bit. Continue to eat. I know no one didn't have so much time to eat, so continue to eat. It's a tremendous cover for us that Rabbi Schechter agreed to share some Tevei Torah with us. Rabbi Schechter and I go back many, many, many years. Rabbi Schechter's father, of course, is my Rebbe, going back a long way. We have the schus. We had the schus to spend many, many summers together. And Rabbi Schechter has, as everybody here knows in the neighborhood, really has lifted up our neighborhood in so many ways by opening the Beis Medrash. My son-in-law, I think maybe Rabbi Schechter was there when my son-in-law was talking about how when Rabbi Schechter first started this new position, they started a new position in Young Israel, Rosh Beis Medrash. So some of the chever and YU were joking around with him a little bit. And so when he came back after he got the job, so the chever and YU, so they were joking around with him, Rosh Beis Medrash, what does it mean, new position? Rabbi Schechter said, you're laughing now, but pretty soon, many shuls in the United States are now going to have something called a Rosh Beis Medrash. And sure enough, my son-in-law got to also do something very similar to being a Rosh Beis Medrash in the merit of Rabbi Schechter when he was introduced to when he spoke at the Young Israel. So he mentioned that. So, Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of connections. It's a real schuss for us, so we appreciate the Rebbe's time, and thank you so much for coming.
Mazel tov, everybody, and thank you, Bershus, Rabbi Kamenetsky. Rabbi Kamenetsky told me when to come, but I'm sorry that I missed out on the whole Siyum part and the whole other Divrei Torah and the dancing, but it's a pleasure to be a part of a Simchas HaTorah, especially the week before Shavuos. What an amazing way to go into Yantiv and to celebrate together, and welcome to all those who are here from New Jersey. You should always travel out here for wonderful get-togethers and simchas like this and many others. So Rabbi Kamenetsky had asked me to share a little bit about something to do with the Siyum and this time of the year. And what I was trying to think about this evening as I was putting something together was to try to consider Maseches Sota, which I'm jealous of all of you that I don't learn the Daf Yomi. I wish I did. I guess I should say I wish I taught the Daf Yomi. Someday I should be Zoche, but you didn't start till you were also a little older than me, right? So, I should be Zoche at least to learn from Rabbi Kamenetsky that when I get to this age, I should be able to do the same and be able to be Marbitz Torah the way he does in such a beautiful way. But what I was thinking when perusing through the Masechta today and trying to think about an important message, what came to mind is something that I noticed a couple of times throughout the Masechta, we come to an understanding of the following theme. There's an interesting mashal that the Dubna Magid gives when he tries to explain the prohibition in the Torah of Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra. So the Torah says you're not allowed to add on to any mitzvah, you're not allowed to take away. People are already looking at their watches, I didn't even start. So Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra. So the Dubna Magid wonders, what is this all about? What's so bad? So I want to add on to a mitzvah, but I want to do something in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not because I'm spiteful, it's not because I don't believe in him, it's because I love him even more. So, what is Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra all about? I don't know how many of you went to YU, but my father often gives the following mashal. Just because you think something is furthering the service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it is. So, for example, he says, you go on the A train, and it says by the 181st Street stop, Yeshiva University. There's a sign on the train station that says Yeshiva University. If you go one step further, where do you go? What's the next stop? The cloisters. So my father often uses that as a mashal. If one stop is the Beis Medrash in Yeshiva University, going further into the Ratzon Hashem doesn't necessarily mean you're going in the right direction. One more stop could be going straight into the cloisters. So for anyone who is familiar with the A train and the stops, you appreciate it. But the Dubna Magid suggests a mashal to explain what Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra is all about. And he says that basically what the premise of the whole mitzvah is all about, of the whole Isser is all about, is to understand, the way the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim writes it, to understand that everything in the Torah is perfect. I'm going to read you the Lashon of the Rambam, where he says, Hadavar hashalem betachlis ha'efsharas bemino. If you have something that is so complete, that is so flawless, that is so perfect, lo yitachen sheyimtza zulasa bemino ki im pachos meosa ha'shlemus. Anything you're going to add, any exaggeration you're going to have, or any embellishment, anything that you're going to have in either direction, says the Rambam, is going to take away from the perfect nature of what the Torah is. If you're adding or taking away from anything that the Torah suggests that we do in our lives, or obligates us to do, or wants us to behave in a certain way, and you're going to take that to an extreme, too much or too little, so the Rambam says you're basically saying that you don't believe that the Torah is perfect the way it is. If you feel the need to add to it, it means there was something deficient, there was something lacking, and without my addition, it wouldn't have been good enough. So this is really what I wanted to touch upon, because I felt, as I was going through some of the Masechta, this is really a theme that came to my mind. So the Avister Rav Nosson writes an interesting line. The Avister Rav Nosson says, what is the life of a Jew all about? And I'm sure Rabbi Kamenetsky has had the same kinds of conversations with high school boys that I've had once in a while. You know, I've heard kids make some kind of assumption that God really doesn't care about Zman Kriya Shema. I mean, come on. Does he care if I say Kriya Shema at 9:13 instead of 9:11? Does it really matter? And does he really care if I miss this Zman Tefila and if I really say Yalav Yavu tonight in Shemona Esrei, I said Talamut or I didn't say Mashav Aruach? Really matters to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all these things? So the Avister Rav Nosson gives us a mashal to try to understand what it's all about. And he says the following. He says that life for us as Jews is a mashal la'arista. What is that? That's a person who's walking down a road, a derech hamelech, a nice road. Shehi overes bein shnei derechim. But the problem is, on two sides of the road, there are two major pitfalls. On the one side, there is achas shel or, v'achas shel shelig. If you go off on one side of the road, you're going to fall into a ditch that has fire raging there. If you go off to the other side of the road, you're going to get stuck in a ditch that has snow. And the mashal that is trying to be conveyed by the Avister Rav Nosson is that one, in living a Torah-centered life, has to realize that everything is very specific and very careful and very meticulous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a system where he wants us to be living in that Shvil Hazav, in the middle road, where we're not going to the extreme in either direction. And we're always understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be riding in that Derech HaMelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be riding that road of not being extreme in either direction, not the Baal Tosef and not the Baal Tigra. And the reason why I think this is something that is very relevant is because it's actually a Gemara Masechta Sota. The Gemara Masechta Sota describes the Chassid Shota. What is the Chassid Shota? Chassid Shota is the celebrated personality that the Gemara describes, who sees a Isha Tovaz Benar. The Gemara says, you see a woman who needs help, and she's drowning in the ocean, she's drowning in the river, and I happen to be a lifeguard, and I know how to save that person. And the Gemara says that this Chassid says, you know, I can't really do that, because after all, isn't that going to compromise my standards of tznius? I don't normally engage women who are dressed like that, let alone the fact that I don't normally engage women at all who aren't part of my family, so why am I jumping into the river? But the person needs my help. I understand they need my help, and in the end of the day, I don't want to compromise my standards. Says the Gemara, we refer to you as a chassid shota. The Yerushalmi gives a similar example, where the Yerushalmi says that you have a person who sees an individual who's drowning, but they're wearing tefillin. So what should I do? I'm going to jump into the water, my tefillin are going to get ruined. Of course, we understand the value of life, but I also understand the value of tefillin. So that, says the Gemara, is the description of a chassid shota. And that is something that, although a person is trying to do good, and although a person is well-intentioned, and of course, I want to save lives, and if all else was equal, I would never choose not to save a life. But I also don't want to compromise my standards or my principles. There the Gemara says that is what we refer to as a chassid shota. I think what the Gemara is trying to teach us is about living a balanced lifestyle, but really understanding not to go to the extreme in either direction, but knowing what the extreme actually is also not so simple. You have to know what is the right decision to be made each time you're faced with the dilemma of which way to go off the road. Of course, the easiest thing to do is to stay on the middle of the road, but that's not always the option we're given. I'm going to ruin my tefillin, I'm going to destroy a life. You have to know how to make the right calculation in each decision that we're going to be confronted with in the Hakdama, in the introduction to the Maharsham's Tshuvas. He has an amazing story where he tells about an individual who once goes to a marketplace somewhere, and it's not like today where we have images on the internet where we can see things that are going on in other places. Whatever people then didn't see with their own eyes, they didn't really understand what it was. They couldn't really wrap their heads around it. So he had heard that there was such an idea that when you see somebody who's a midget, somebody who's, you know, smaller than other individuals, someone who's configured differently, he had heard that there's a concept that we make a bracha mishana habrius. Never in his life did he encounter such a person, but he had heard there was such an idea. He goes to a marketplace one day, and he sees in the big city in Leipzig that there's one of these individuals, and he's so excited. Because now, for the first time in his life, he's going to have the opportunity to make the bracha mishana habrius. Never in his life did he see anybody who was different looking than he was. So he runs over to this individual. And the lashon of the Maharsham is, tafas oso nanas kelulav. He was excited about the fact that he had an opportunity to make a bracha. So what do? He picks up this individual like a lulav, just like you would when you're making a bracha, and he starts shuckling with him in his hands. And he says, he's making the bracha mishana abrios, and he says, in the place of paving himself a path into Gan Eden for saying a bracha with kavana, and for thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the differences between human beings and the complexity of the human life and the human spirit and the human body, and everyone's different, how beautiful, what an amazing bracha. In the place of building himself and paving a golden path into Gan Eden, he writes how this person, he watched how he paved a golden path straight into Gan Eden. Because he went to the extreme, he didn't understand what's the appropriate thing to do and what perhaps is not. And this is something that the Gemara shares with us in Maseches Sota. It's a very important idea that the Gemara tells. The Gemara Maseches Yuma tells another very sad, very upsetting story, but the Gemara says that there was once an individual who was running up the Kevesh of the Mizbeach, and as we know, that this was a very contentious issue because many Kohanim wanted to have the opportunity to run up the Mizbeach and to do the Avodah, and there was some kind of misunderstanding, and one of them pushed the other one off the Mizbeach or stabbed him, the Gemara says, two different stories, and this Kohen actually died in the Beis HaMikdash. He died in the Beis HaMikdash because his friend stabbed him in the way on the service to go serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Mizbeach to offer the Karbanos. And the Gemara says that the father of this individual walks in, sees that his son is Mefarper Baholech, he sees that his son is dying out, he sees he's bleeding out, but he notices what knife did his friend use to stab him, what knives were around. Of course, he used a knife that was intended for Shechita. And the Gemara said he took that knife out of his son's body and he started screaming in the Beis HaMikdash. The knife is about to become Tamei. My son is about to die. Let me make sure to take it out of the Beis HaMikdash that it doesn't become Tamei. And the Gemara bemoans the fact that the priorities were off. That even the father, when he sees his own son die, forget about the fact that he's a son. Any human being who's in pain, any human being whose life is at stake, is in jeopardy. You're worried about the knife because it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to become Tamei. And what the Gemara is trying to share with us is to always keep everything in perspective, to always have the right balance, and to always make sure that we have the right understanding and to stay in the Shvil HaZav. The way the Rambam explains it, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, there are some people who get angry too easily. The Rambam says there are some people on the other extreme who never get worked up about anything. And the Rambam says both extremes are inappropriate. You shouldn't get too angry, and you shouldn't be too calm. And the Rambam goes through each midah, and he says that it's not good to be on the extreme of either one. And the Rambam introduces us to this idea that the Rambam was actually attacked for this. There were B'nai Dora who said that the Rambam took this from Aristotle. The Maritz Chias later on came and said the Rambam did not get it from Aristotle. The Rambam got it from Torah sources, of course, like we heard. But the Rambam may have been influenced by the way Aristotle framed it. But whatever it is, the Rambam puts it in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam puts it in Hilchos Deos, where he tells us about the importance of always finding the perfect balance between all of the extremes. Why is it extremely relevant to Maseches Sota? Not only because in the middle of the Masechta we're introduced to this idea where the Gemara tells us about the Chassid Shota, but also because there's only one or perhaps very minimal exceptions to the rule where we find that would it actually be appropriate to go to the extreme. Where is it appropriate to go to the extreme? That also finds itself in Maseches Sota. So the Gemara has an understanding that somebody who becomes a Nazir is considered to be a Chote. You're doing something wrong. Why am I doing something wrong? After all, don't we know that this is going to bring more Kedusha into my life? It's going to bring me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm taking extra chumras upon myself. What can possibly be wrong with that? So the Gemara assumes that the reason why it's considered to be inappropriate is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to... The Gemara doesn't spell out the whole thing, but the way all the Mefarshim explain it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy the world. And you're taking away your opportunity to enjoy different aspects of the world. You're never going to drink wine. You're never going to participate in certain activities. That's taking away your opportunity to enjoy life. And therefore, the Gemara says, that person is Nikra Chote. So why does he become a Nazir in the first place? Writes the Gemara. Because somebody who experiences this spectacle of a woman who becomes a Sota, goes to the Beis HaMikdash, and the embarrassment that she has to go through, the whole process... As you learn in the very beginning of the Masechta, all the terrible things that happened to the Sota, says the Gemara, it has to make a Roshem on you. Because what brought a person to be in that state in the first place? Probably because the woman had drank a little too much, she was not being as serious in life as she should have been, and as a takeaway message from whatever you experienced by watching this Sota unfold in the Beis HaMikdash and the whole story unravel, because of that, you have to then take something very serious upon yourself, and you have to become a Nazir. That's what the Gemara says. That's the correlation between a Nazir and a Sota. The first daf in Masechta Sota talks about it. What do you learn from there? What you learn from there is, although it's true that the Rambam says, and the Midrashim tell us, and the Gemara says about the Chassid Sota, person should never live to the extremes. A person always has to find that Shvil Hazav. The way the Sefer HaChinuch writes it is, a person who does that is Mekayim the Mitzvah of Halachta Bedrachav. That to follow the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to be normal. Not to be extreme. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to go to the extreme. But there are times in life when we do need to go to the extreme. When is that? When there's something that is so glaringly, obviously wrong with the situation in front of us, we need to react to the extreme when that happens. The example that we're given is the Nazir in response to the Sota. Something terrible happened. As a reaction to that, you need to go to the extreme to pull it back the other way. The Gemara gives a lashon somewhere that when you want to bend the tree in the opposite direction, so what do? Get blown by the wind in one direction. What you do is you tie it down completely to the opposite direction. After enough time, it's slowly going to come back to the middle. It's going to come back to where it's supposed to be. And that's the exception to the rule that we find. When does one not follow the Shvil Hazav? When does one not follow the exact middle of the road path, which is the equilibrium of life, living life in moderation? When do we go to the extreme? It's when you have something extreme going on the opposite direction. You have to pull it back in the other way. So my father often gives an example where he says, you look around and you see how many people are dishonest in business, and you see how many people are not doing the right thing, and you see how many Jews, Rahman al-Islam, in our own communities are going to jail for crimes that they're doing. Well, that means in our generation we need to go to the extreme on honesty. I can tell you every time I'm in the airport with my father, you know, you fly Al Al. And they always ask you the same questions. Did you pack your suitcases? He always says no. And did anyone give you anything to bring? Yeah, of course. So where were these people? Well, I gave a shiur on Monday night. Somebody gave me, you know, some shliach mitzvah money to bring. Then on Tuesday night, I gave a shiur here. And somebody gave me a package for their son who lives over there. And he's always very honest with them. And I say, you're always going to continue to be stopped in the airport. Can we maybe answer a little differently? And he says, what am I going to do? I'm going to be dishonest? They're going to ask me a question, I'm going to say, no. When they ask me, did I pack my suitcases, I'm going to say, yes, I did, even though I didn't. I have to tell them the truth, so I say my wife did. Now, if they think that someone who looks like him is actually a terrorist, maybe we need new personnel in the airport. But at the same time, it's when I've spoken to him about it, he said it's not just about being honest for ourselves, it's also when you see how the generation is so deficient in this regard, where somebody could get on international TV and have no problem lying about something. Or Soloveitchik spoke about this, how there is a assumption that the Gemara gives, that milsa da'avida legluye lo mashakri inchi. When you have something that is ultimately going to be found out, people are going to hear the facts, nobody's going to lie about that. If you know you can get caught in a lie, why would you lie? So Rav Soloveitchik spoke about, when did that assumption begin? Was that in Maaseh Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the first human being? Is that the way it was set up? Or was that something later, just an understanding that we had? But now you look on the news and you see every day the greatest politicians all over the world have no problem saying things where they know that the next day it can be discovered that they told a total lie, and yet nobody has a problem with it. And they get away with it and they move on and everyone forgets about it. And it's not a problem at all. When we live at a time when there's such a deficiency in one direction, then it's on us to be like the Nazir in response to the Sota. when we live, I know that very often we have Shabbos and Yichud. Yichud is a black and white halacha, but some of the details are a little bit complicated. And there are all kinds of heterim that we have, if you leave the door open, if you have a baila be'ir, different kinds of heterim that the Shulchan Aruch describes. So I've called my father with many different Yichud Shabbos that people have. You know, you have a cleaning woman in the house, you have an aid in the house, you have this, different things that come up all the time, every day. And I've called him with many of these questions. And he said, yes, the Shulchan Aruch does say that there are heterim, and of course there are ways around it, and we can leave the door unlocked. But if you live in a generation that's so poritz ba'arayis, look at people who are making such terrible mistakes in these issues of arayis, then it's on us to be like the Nazir in this generation. And maybe we shouldn't accept the heterim of Yichud at this time. Of course they're legitimate, and of course if you're stuck, the Shulchan Aruch says that's what you should do, but is it really a smart thing for us to do when we feel that we're so lax in general as a community in certain areas? That's where the Gemara says, although it's never good to be the extreme, although it's always good to live a life of moderation, when the Gemara does encourage us to try to go to the extreme in some way, is when we have these kinds of situations that we're confronted with, where we see that things are swinging in the pendulum in the total opposite direction. That's when we have to try ourselves, as the ones who are Yirei Hashem, to swing it back in the right direction. So as you finish Maseches Sota and you take all of the wonderful lessons that you've learned and such amazing, really, such an amazing Masechta. I don't know how long I have. Can I share one last thing on the last daf? Rabbi Willig is speaking also?
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, one last thing. I just, I can't not share. It's just amazing. On the last daf in Maseches Sota, the Gemara goes through when this one died, when that one died, and the last Mishnah of Maseches Sota talks about what's going to be in the times of Mashiach. How amazing was it to learn that Gemara and to see that every single thing is coming true in our generation. It means we're just coming closer to Mashiach. And the markets are going to be topsy-turvy, and it says parents aren't going to have any respect from their children. Pnei Ador ke Pnei Akelev. Everything the Gemara describes is coming true, really, to an exact detail of what the Gemara describes. But lastly, the Mishnah says, Ve'ein lanu al mi lehishayin ela al avinu shebashamayim. That's the last line. Now we're going to look at the world and we're going to say, look, this is upside down, and that's not going right, and everything seems to be going in the wrong direction, and we're just going to throw up our hands and say, you know, God, this is your problem. This is your problem. We have no way to deal with this. We don't know how to fix it. The only way this is going to be fixed is if you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get involved. Ein lanu al mi lehishayin ela al avinu shebashamayim. Reb Chaim Valashner in the Sefer Kol HaKosev L'Chaim has an amazing interpretation where he changes the whole understanding of that last line in the Mishnah. He says the Mishnah tells us this is going to go wrong and that's going to go wrong and plenty of things are going to be going in the opposite direction that we want them to. And you know what the worst of all the curses is going to be? When we come to a time when the Jewish people are going to throw up their hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, we give up. Can there be a worse time in history than that? When Jews are living life thinking, there's nothing I can do to contribute positively to society. There's nothing more that's left for me to fix because everything is so broken and there's no way we're ever going to turn this around. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that's just a natural progression of everything else that the Mishnah describes, and that's rock bottom. That's the worst. When a Jew believes he came to a place where there's nothing he can contribute positively to society because it is so corrupt, because it is so negative, it is so negatively influenced, and there's nothing that we can do to turn or change the tide in any way, in that kind of time, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that's when we've hit rock bottom. That's when we know we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the chizuk, to give us the opportunity. And Emir Tashem, we should be those people who have the ability to see clarity after we finish a Masechta, and as we continue our commitment to what it means to be learning Torah Hashem, to be connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our learning, to have such an amazing Magid Shir who brings us the Mesorah of his Rabbeim and of all those who have taught him and links us as part of the chain, the glorious chain that he is a part of. It's an opportunity for all of us to remind ourselves of the commitment that we have to never say, Ein lanu liyishayin ela al avinu shebashamayim, but to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to make sure that we always avail ourselves that opportunity to make the world a better place, to bring goodness into the world, and to make sure that we, in reaction to all that we see of the sota in our society, that we act as the ones who are going to be the nazir, that we act as the ones who are going to live upstanding lives, who are going to show the world that you can do it, even in a time like this, even at a situation like this, and to give nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout all of our efforts. Mazel tov to all of you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Shechta. Thank you so much. Beautiful words, beautiful words. Okay, please eat. Daniel, welcome. We'll sing a niggin if I can try. Shkaya comes to the I love Sarah's Havasha Ashu Wawawaya Zavaliti Raya Wawanye La La Da Da I love Le Sarah's Havasha
Niggin, I know guys have to go. One last niggin. Really, what it's all about for us. I know so many of us is the first time really learning the daf. Most people here is really the first time doing it. And we probably never thought that we could make it this far. So we got to give ourselves a little chizuk that we could each keep going, that I can keep giving this year. Everybody can keep coming. And that's really, like I said, so special. Everybody who comes gives such chizuk to everybody else that it's such a part of a special chavra. So one last song. Let's try to sing it as a tefillah that we can. We should keep doing this. Ayke kahara yelecha hadavar me. La 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 Only all the learning is really in this chus that Rabbi Willig said yes. Rabbi Willig said yes to the shir. I always mention that it's really a big chus that we all continue to learn. So we'll bench in 2 minutes. We'll bench as soon as Rabbi Willig.
No, less than 2 minutes.
I really always feel tremendous hakaras hatov and tremendous closeness. We learn every morning in the shul, and we're hoping that we'll be able to learn even in a nicer,
yeah.
a nicer base medrash at some point. As Hashem, but Rabbi Willig, please honor us.
I'll try to keep it less than 2 minutes. When I came in, Rabbi Shechter was mentioning the Gemara in the beginning of Sota that Haroa Sota Bekukuli Yazer Asman Ayayin. I started thinking about the fact that the Rishonim right in this week's parsha, sort of this week's parsha, Parshas Naso. You have 2 weeks to learn Parshas Naso. If you can't do it in 1 week, you have 2 weeks. So the Rishonim write that the Nazir. The language of Nazir, Nazir, is Nazir Hashem. It means you wear a crown. It means to say, the Rishonim explained that there are certain individuals who are born into a royal family, the Kohen, and there are certain people who are not born into a royal family. And the way that you can, even if you're not born into a royal family, the way you can mimic that lifestyle to become as close as you can to HaKadosh Baruch by living the life of a Kohen is by becoming a Nazir. Now, a Nazir is not for everyone, certainly not, but... we know very well that it's not just the Nazir who becomes the Nazir Hashem, that he wears the crown, so to speak, but each and every one of us as Mamlechas Kohanim V'Gai Kodesh. What does it mean to be Mamlechas Kohanim V'Gai Kodesh? So just a few minutes ago, before I arrived, you made the Siyam, and in the Siyam, everyone said, or whoever made the Siyam said, that, Anu Ameilim U'Mekal M'Schar, V'Heim Ameilim V'Heim M'Kal M'Schar. Now, I'm sure people around this table do very nicely, do very well, but your counterparts who are not Jews, non-Jews, do very well as well. What does it mean that we work, they work, they don't get any reward. We don't get any reward. So we suggested in the shul a few weeks ago, some of the Mefarshim say that the pshat is that to get a paycheck, depends on what your output is. If you do well, you make a deal, you make a parnosa. Whether you're Jewish or non-Jewish, everyone makes the same parnosa. What does it mean, anu ameilim mekabim schar? What it means to say is that we are amel at our day job. We get schar if we use that to propel us. Now we have a parnassus, so we could spend an hour, two, three at night, an hour before we go to work. Anu amelim, we work. We get schar that all of our work, because we are mamlechas kohanim v'gai kodesh, we live a different lifestyle. We devote our extra time, our free time, our Sundays, our nighttime, our mornings, and we make sure that that allows us to learn in the other parts of the day. So we're mekabel mischar. We sit at our desk for 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 9 to 5. All of that time, we're mekabel mischar. Not for the schar, the money we bring home to our families, but mekabel mischar. That is the schar we have in Talmud Torah, because we devote ourselves in the other parts of the day to Talmud Torah. Devote ourselves to Torah mitzvahs. That's the real nezer. That's the real crown that we can each wear. The mamlechas kohanim goy kodesh. The entire day is infused with this. Morning learning, evening learning, whatever part of the day you're learning, that's where the great schar waits each and every one of us, because we're committed to Talmud Torah. And Mitzvah Hashem, as you complete one Masechta and on to the next Masechta, one after the other, we should all be able to continue in that trajectory, living a life of Mamlechas Kohanim, living a life of Nazir Hashem, committing ourselves to Torah Mitzvahs and the Mitzvah Hashem together, we'll celebrate many, many more Siyum. A good evening.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll bench. Thank you so much. Amen. Aaron Zelig, thank you. Yala V'yavo, great call. No way I would have remembered that. No, we didn't. Go ahead. Rosh HaChodesh Hazeh Zacharin Alei Rol Tula Vakmin Avol Adolcha Roshim Adol Chayvin Dvar Yishu Rachamim Kotz Chanei Rachim Adol Rosh Hashim Adol Chayvin Dvar Yishu Rachamim Kotz Chanei Rachim Adol Rosh Hashim Adol Chayvin Dvar Yishu Rachamim Kotz Chanei Rachim Adol Rosh Hashim Adol Chayvin Dvar Yishu Rachamim Kotz Chanei Rachim Adol Special thank you, especially to the guy who came all the way from New Jersey. We really appreciate it so much. You give us so much chesed by coming. We should finish us together, keep on learning together. We really appreciate your involvement in the shiur. Thank you very much. Now get going home. I don't want you guys to get home too late.
Anyone wants to take sushi?
Please take sushi. Take ice cream.
7 o'clock tomorrow.
7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Gittin daf hey.
All right.
Gittin daf hey. Take ice cream for your kids if it's going to last by the time you get home. Take ice cream for your kids. Get a bag.
Who's taking sushi to go?
Okay, awesome. Take ice cream for your kids.
I had to go my own car.
Okay, I understand. You could get cold at any second.
Where do you funeral? Where do you direct funerals?
For a million years, I was at Hebrew Free Burial Association. Right. I'm still there. I do a lot of freelance work.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot of work at Hebrew Square.
Oh, wow.
A lot of work out of there.
I'm going to take one for my daughter.
Take one for your wife, too.
My wife is not going to. It's already melting. That's a good idea. Okay. Take one for my daughter.
That's exactly what Rebbe, you said Omar Ani. I'm also saying that. They live their life. I was thinking Rebbe said Rebbe Zera.